his name this morning, and Dayton talked about a privilege, and I think the privilege is ours to be able to come here and and worship with friends, and you know, especially in our situation when the majority of your church takes off to points east, and it's just you sitting there. Basically, it's nice to be able to come to Bonner's Ferry to worship together. And every time I've come up here, I've noticed the fact that the road runs both ways. And so you're always welcome to come our way. And a lot of you do, and we really appreciate that. But it's a real blessing for us when we have people come from Bonner's Ferry. So please, I guess, consider this a personal invitation for all of you. And even if you come all at once, I think we can work on it. We can fit you in somehow. So I'd like to look at some verses in Exodus today. Exodus chapter 8. It's a story I think that's very familiar. It's a story that we hear about as young children. And I want to look at some lessons we can learn from Pharaoh. Actually, learn from Pharaoh and the frogs. So, chapter 8 of Exodus, the first 11 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon the people, and unto thine ovens, and unto thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, and that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. You know, Pharaoh had quite a tough situation here, didn't he? He had to make a decision. He brought all these plagues upon himself and his whole nation because he had defied God. He defied God. So here is this plague of frogs. And it's very interesting to me that the Lord used frogs as part of this plague because frogs were one of the Egyptian gods. So you look at it, it's going from something that you're worshiping to being a nuisance. And I guess people have different thoughts about frogs, but think about frogs everywhere. So they're coming out of the rivers, coming out of the streams, coming out of the ponds. Not only were they coming out, they were in your beds, their beds. They were in their kitchens. How would you like to be trying to make a Sunday meal and have frogs all over your counter? They couldn't get away from them. They were on the people. And it says that they affected everybody, both the rich and the poor. So from the palace on down to the biggest servants, they were being affected by it. Another interesting point is that the frogs that Aaron brought forth by the power of God, what response did the Egyptians have at first? The magicians said, well, we're going to do it. If you think you can do it, we're going to bring forth more frogs. Pride. Pride's involved here, isn't it? It's a big, big show of pride. They want to establish their own position of power to probably discredit God. And what did they do? They just added to their own misery. They added to their own misery. Here are these magicians. Look how wonderful we are. And isn't that a struggle that we can have also? We can let pride and wanting our own way and wanting to look good or whatever make a situation worse, because pride blocks off God's actions in our lives. God wants to work for good, and our pride is a big barrier that we set up. You know, when a person sets themselves against God, insisting on taking their own way, they often can't see the folly of that. They can't see what they're doing. They can't see that they're blocking God. And I had to think about this example of the magicians. You know, okay, you're bringing up frogs, we're going to bring up more frogs. It made me think of, what if somebody came up and punched you in the face? I mean, hit you really hard. You reel back and you stood there and said, ha, that's nothing, watch this. And you hit yourself in the face. See, I can do it better than you. That's kind of the way it was with the Egyptians. Why are they doing this? They're trying to show that they are better than God. But the biggest thing that caught my attention is Pharaoh's answer. Pharaoh's answer to Moses says, well, when do you want me to ask the Lord to take away these frogs? I would have said immediately. What's he say? Tomorrow. Tomorrow. What's that? What's that mean to himself and to his nation? It means you got one more night with those frogs. You could be, you've probably got another, 12-hour period with those frogs. It really boggled my mind. I thought, why? Because it includes him, doesn't it? It's not just the people out there. It included him. They're going to have to endure these frogs on their bodies, in their food, in their homes, for one whole night, another night. And the only reason I can see is that Pharaoh thought, I'm going to wait God out. I'm going to wait him out. We'll be victorious here, because the frogs will go away on their own. Well, we know that you're not going to wait God out. Or I thought also it could be that age-old thing, I'll do it my way. It was, again, it was another act of defiance against God. And I think that that we can see some of those things in life today. So you might be saying, okay, this is a nice story. We haven't seen any frogs coming out of Moye River or the Kootenai River lately, you know, so that's all right. But I think that we've got frogs today in our lives that we need to deal with. We've got some frogs. Our frogs, like Pharaoh's, are things that separate us from the blessings of God. They're those sorts of things. And what are the source of our frogs? I had to think about that. I believe it's our selfish nature. Our selfish nature is the source of the frogs in our lives today. It could be putting our trust in a big bank account. Well, I've got a lot of money in there. I don't need to worry about things. I don't need to really pray that the Lord would provide, because he's providing very well for me right now. I got a lot of money there. I'm all set. That could be a frog. It could be a desire to be somebody. I want to be recognized. I want to be accepted by people, instead of thinking about our acceptability to God. Sometimes I think people think, well, it's all young people. You know, young people, they want to be accepted. Well, I don't think it's age specific. I think it can be any age. We want to be accepted by the people we work with or by others. So that can be one of the frogs, focusing on that instead of our acceptability to God. Emotions. Our emotions can be another source of the frogs, I guess. Pride. We already talked about pride with the Egyptian magicians. We can have pride. That can be one of our frogs. Could be self-pity. You know, that's a big tool of the devil, I think, trying to get us to be, oh, woe is me, I'm not like this. Again, it can be our relationship with other people. I'm not as good at this as somebody else. Or why am I having all this? Look at how the Lord has blessed those people. We don't look at the blessings that we have. Anger can be a frog. And I think anger, to me, is when things don't go the way we want them to or the way we've planned. You know, we have plans. That bolt's going to come out really easily. And it doesn't come, and it doesn't come, and it doesn't come. And I know there's one man I worked with, he said he would just get so angry, he'd throw the wrench. And then he'd get angry because he couldn't find the wrench. So, you know, we get angry at inanimate objects. I think that's one of the frogs that we have to deal with. And then worry. I think worry is something. It's, what lies ahead. For young people, it's, what's my future hold? For older people, it's how long am I going to be here, maybe. But we all have worry. We all have things that we worry about. I think those are some of the frogs. And I think we have a special one today that for younger people, or for all of us, that I didn't have growing up, social media and the internet. You know, how many people, you go into a place, I guess it depends upon if you're right-handed or left-handed, where you hold the phone, where you're going to text, but you go into these places and everybody's head's down. They're locked into that little machine in their hand. And that can be a frog. That can be a distraction. That can be something that's our attention is there instead of on the Lord. You know, these frogs, just like the Egyptian frogs, they can invade every part of our life. They can be in all different parts of our lives. And it's things that we can think about all the time. It's things that distract us. They become our major topics of conversation. And it's taking our focus off the Lord and onto ourself. So I know we need to make a conscious decision to rid ourselves of these frogs, because our enemy, Satan, wants us to take the Pharaoh approach. I can wait till tomorrow. I'll just wait a little bit longer. You know, I don't need to rid myself of these frogs right now. I'll wait. You know, that's, I've heard it often, you know, just a little more time, and then I'll make things right. Tomorrow I'll ask for the Lord's help. Tomorrow I'll do better. It often comes about when your people should be making a commitment to the Lord. They'll put it off. They'll wait. They'll just keep putting it off. I don't know if you've been down south, down the Moscow-Troy highway. It's fairly busy, a lot of chip trucks on it. And when we lived in Moscow and I worked for the Forest Service, we had summer crews that came from all over the country. And I remember one day I was driving and had a young fellow from Vermont with me, and I asked him about coming to church with us. Oh, no, he said, I don't need religion right now, thank you. And I thought, you know, if I swerve in front of that chip truck, are you going to need religion then? I didn't do that, thankfully. But anyway, you know, I thought about that. That's so ridiculous. I don't need it now. Or one man told me, he said, yeah, Jesus is my Savior. I said, is he Lord of your life? Oh, no, he's my Savior. I need him then. You know, I'll take care of things now. No, we can't put those things off, because the Holy Spirit is calling to us today. He's calling to us right now. Right at the time when those frogs begin to arise, when they're starting to come out of the ponds and the rivers and the streams, that's when the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking to us. He's going to say, okay, here's a frog coming. Get ready. You have to stop it. He tells us that we are to cast all our cares upon the Lord, because he cares for us. We have instruction what we're to do. I think we can deceive ourselves, greatly deceive ourselves, that we can wait to deal with issues in our lives. And if we do that, we're letting those frogs gain ground. We're letting those frogs get closer and closer and closer. And the thing, again, like Pharaoh, our decision doesn't just affect ourselves. It affects those around us. Now, Pharaoh's decision affected the whole country, the whole nation. Well, it might not be like a great nation that we're affecting with our decision, but it may be a great family. By not making the decision, by our indecisiveness, it could be affecting a great family. It could be affecting a great spouse. You know, or a husband or a wife could be affected by it because we're not making the decision that we're supposed to make now. It could be affecting a great relationship with another person. Or it could be affecting a great church. It could be affecting the whole church because we're not willing to make that decision. But I'm so thankful that, unlike Pharaoh, we can make that decision from a heart that's right before God. We have that capability. We may take time to make the decision, and we don't want to be just, you know, too fast with our decisions, but if we're taking time, it should be time that we spend in prayer. We should be praying about it. I thought about Pharaoh. He said to have a hard heart. You know, when there's matters that we deal with and we're putting off the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I think we have a capability of letting calluses grow on our heart. I heard it said once, there's an evangelist from Pennsylvania who talked about old Indian tradition that your conscience was a sharpened triangle that spun inside you when something went wrong, and it caused pain inside you. But you could shave the edges off that triangle and make it kind of smooth and just spin around so you didn't feel it. And I think that's what happens when we do not deal with issues and we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We get a hardened heart, and that's a terrible disease, isn't it? And it can come upon anyone who's not listening to the Lord. When we're used to going forward in our own strength, you know, that's almost promoted by society today. You know, do all that you can do, be all that you can be, do it in your own strength. If we are trying to do that and not listening to the Lord, then we're going to get some pretty thick calluses on our hearts. And we know what thick calluses can do. It protects you from rough work, but it's on a heart, it's not something that we want. So how do we deal with the frogs? How do we deal with the frogs in our lives? We can never neglect our relationship with the Lord. That's got to be first and foremost, because each passing day brings us closer and closer to being face-to-face with the Lord. You know, the Lord can return at any time, or he can call us home at any time. So we don't know. We don't know. I think this is one of the pressing reasons why we should be unwilling to spend another day with the frogs in our lives. We've got to be getting rid of them. And yet, again, this is a daily thing, isn't it? This is daily action. We've got to do two things, I think, is one, recognize those frogs, and they're different for each one of us. There's probably some overlap that we all can relate to, but each one knows that it's a personal thing. Then we've got to ask the Lord, help us. Help us to get rid of those right now, because I started to think about our lives. You know, our life in James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 say, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I have to think, if we had to hold our fingers apart to show our life in relationship to eternity, we couldn't get them apart, because we're such a small portion of time. So, again, our life is like a vapor. It's here and gone. So we've got to be dealing with these frogs right now. In Isaiah chapter 1, God says to Isaiah, "Come, let us reason together." And that's, God wants to reason with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants us to talk with him about the condition of our lives right now, today. Not tomorrow, because tomorrow may be too late. So, thinking about it, summing it up, I guess, when our relationship with the Lord and with each other is how it should be, when we have those frogs under control, we can have a joy and a peace that the world can't understand. The world doesn't understand that peace that we have, because they don't understand the Lord. So personally, and I think it's everyone's prayer here, because you're here this morning, that we have a desire to identify the frogs, say no to the frogs, and say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. So, again, it's a privilege to come up here. It's a blessing to come up here. It's nice to worship with family and friends. And this is a little bit bigger than what we're used to at Newport. But, again, thank you for having us. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your great love to us. And you're thankful that when we see these things in our lives, the things that can be overwhelming, that we know that we can turn to you, that you will give us the way that we can say no to them and yes to you. Lord, we pray for each one here, that you'd help us to walk more closely with you. We pray especially, Lord, for family members and loved ones who have either never made the commitment or who have made a commitment and moved away from you. Lord, we pray for them. We pray that their hearts would be turned to you. And pray that we would be showing them your love, and that they would come back before it's too late. Pray for those who will be traveling back from the east, and pray for the church at Newport and the church here and churches throughout the country, that they would bring glory and honor to you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess, Dayton, if it's all right, I'll turn it back to you.